Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the place of honor at banquet. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Great drama in today's gospel. Jesus is invited to the home of one of the leading Pharisees. It was a setup. They were there to scrutinize his every action, as St. Luke tells us. The church excises the miracle Jesus works as soon as he arrives. A man with dropsy is there, probably planted to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath. And Jesus cured immediately because he cared about that man way more than the Pharisees did. And they took objection. It was one of the seven great miracles Jesus did on the Sabbath day. They were there to trap him. Jesus was probably wise enough to know that it wasn't going to be an amicable place. But he still said yes to the invitation because he was still going there to do the good that he could, including healing that man, maybe leading others to faith. But Jesus took advantage of the failure to practice in a holy way by those who were invited to that banquet to teach them something really important about humility, because they were not receiving him even with humility. So this parable, which is well known to us, when you're invited to a banquet, go and take the lowest place so that the host will come to you and say, "Amice ascende superius," my friend, come up higher, rather than humiliate you by knocking you down several pegs from a seat of honor. Often I think when we ponder the virtue of humility, which is so essential, we can think about it in passive ways, the ways that God gives us to help us to grow in humility that we don't choose. The correction that we get that we think might be somewhat unjust, that we bear well. Circumstance in which we drop something on our clothing and it's conspicuous that everybody else can see it, but we just bear that well. Not being chosen for one trip or assignment or another. Those are the things that passively we accept and we try to unite to the Lord, and all of those absolutely do help us to grow in humility. But Jesus is telling us to do something actively here. He's telling us, go choose the lowest place. Go actively opt for the situations of the greatest humility. And that's something many of us don't do, because deep down inside we would prefer the higher rather than the lower place. We would prefer the light rather than the shadows. And at a human level, that's obvious. For the Romans, before the Christianity, before Christian revelation came, they looked with the Greeks at humility as a vice. Because our nature is such to seek to do greater, to seek to do something beautiful. And so humility is, in a sense, contrary to human nature. But Christ has made it, in a sense, the precondition for us to live our human nature to the full. Because without humility, we cannot relate to God. And insofar as the most important thing in human life is to get that relationship right, and we cannot do it without humility. He is redoing, remaking our nature through this virtue. Today, in the passage that we have from St. Paul, from his letter to the Philippians, we can recall St. Paul's humility. St. Paul was one of the greatest students of the greatest rabbi of his age, Gamaliel. He himself was excellent when he was young, so trusted as a young man that he had received the commission to extirpate the Christians. And he ambitiously was doing so. But the Lord humbled him, made him blind so that he would see his blind spots, had him need to be led by others into the city, had Ananias come and baptize him, and then very humbly went out to Arabia. Then, when people were hunting him down, when he was being hated and despised by those who used to exalt him as one of their own, he went home. Not even his new Christians accepted him. His Jews, his fellow Jews hated him. And he went home and he did the humble work of making tents for years. But that whole process was one in which he was growing to let the Lord be magnified within him, and he would become smaller. It was after that time period that he was really able to be the instrument through whom God would work in all his power, because Saul of Tarsus had been minimized. We're going to get to the culmination of the letter to the Philippians on Tuesday. I can already see the excitement in which St. Paul will tell us, have in you the same mindset that Christ had, who, even though he was God, didn't deem equality with God something to be snatched, but humbled himself, taking on the form of a slave, our slave, being born in human appearance, and accepting even crucifixion. And that's why God has exalted him and given him a name above every other name. To put on that mindset of Jesus, to seek to become a slave of all, to give our life as a ransom for others. That's what Paul aspired to. And in this very, very beautiful letter of incredible encouragement, which one day will become Sister Elizabeth Gray's favorite, because right now it seems to be the letter of the Ephesians. Through this, we're called to become more and more like the Lord. In the passage that we have today, he says, for me, to live is Christ, and death is gain. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. He was humble enough to accept whatever the Lord asked. But this expression, vivere Christus est mihi. This is John the Baptist's principle. That for Christ really to live, he's got to become great, we've got to become small. Death can be used as a means, but mortification in this world is an extraordinary means for us to be able to grow in humility so that God himself is magnified. The smaller we become, the more he is glorified. St. Paul says that he's caught in one of those very tight alleyways, almost like in a pipe, where you can't turn to the left or turn toward the right. You can only go forward or backward. And there are two poles. Love of God forever in heaven, or love for God through loving others as He has loved us first here on earth. And he says, I don't know which I shall choose. I'm caught between the two. I long to depart this life and be with Christ, for that's far better. Yet that I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. It was through this type of loving God, in the humble loving of those for whom Christ became a slave to serve and save, that his humility was shining. And not just his humility, but the Lord's greatness. And that's the path for us too. Yes, especially in this month of November, we should be hungering more and more for heaven. But that's not an escape. We're able, in a sense, to anticipate heaven by living in Christ's kingdom here. And that kingdom is a kingdom of Christ-like love, with his mentality to serve all actively and to choose it. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Martin de Porres, who was mulatto in a culture that, let's be honest, was incredibly racist. So he was given from the beginning the lot of humility. Even the Dominicans wouldn't allow him to become a priest, because he was mulatto. And not everybody would sort of look up to that person as a leader. Thanks be to God, allowed him to become a lay brother. And in that service, as their barber, as their infirmarian, as their surgeon when they needed it, and as the one who did all their habits and was in charge of the wardrobe and the vestments, he himself became extraordinarily holy and sanctified the rest. It wasn't enough for him just to love his fellow Dominicans. His heart was bursting with a desire for humble service, and he decided to make all of Lima his monastery. He went on out there to care for the sick, went on out there to establish things to help the orphans who were all over. He cared for those who were caught with the plague. He also welcomed all the slaves who were coming over from Africa and cared for their wounds, making himself a slave to the slaves. Because he was mulatto, they were able to accept him in an even greater way as one of their own. He became great precisely through this humble service, and his example for us is extraordinary. Today, on this Saturday, we likewise celebrate Our Lady, the Gate of Heaven, and we recognize how humble she was and is, and why she has been so exalted. As soon as she had received the eternal word inside, those incredible words of the Archangel Gabriel, "You who have been filled with grace, the Lord is with you." It would have been easy for her to just stay put, to ponder those words. But at the very end, Gabriel had said, "Elizabeth, your kinswoman, is now pregnant in her old age." And that was enough for her to start the visitation mission. And off she went to care for her pregnant cousin in need. And there, when filled with the Holy Spirit, St. Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among all women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She exploded by saying that her soul didn't magnify herself, didn't rejoice in that praise, but rather magnify the Lord and rejoice in the Lord who saved her Savior. Why? Because he has regarded his handmaid in her humility. It was because of that humility that all generations would call her blessed, because the Lord who she magnified was one who casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. It's the one who fills the hungry with good things. But those who are rich and satiated, they walk away empty. Because this is his mercy to Abraham and to every generation. It's only those who are humble enough to open themselves up to receive that gift of the mercy will ever be exalted. She is the gate of heaven precisely because of her humility. Because it's only through humility that we will be exalted to Christ's right side. And she prays for us to have that gift. I'd like to finish, sisters, with some practical helps toward humility, because we have to choose it. We have to actively go along this path, not just let it happen to us. God cares for us enough that he will give us plenty of passive opportunities to practice this virtue. But he wants us to seek it with eagerness. I'd like to share with you two paragraphs from St. Jose Maria. He's got three books of Catalinas, they're called, little aphorisms taken from his writings and little meditations, his spiritual direction. And probably out of all three books, there's a chapter in the Faro, the middle book, on humility, which is the most incisive of them all. The first paragraph there, he talks about our life as Christians, and particularly our life of consecration to the Lord, and how humility plays out in all the virtues. He says, prayer is the humility of the man who acknowledges his profound wretchedness and the greatness of God, who addresses and adores God as one who expects everything from him and nothing from himself. So prayer is an act of humility. Faith, he says, is the humility of the mind that renounces its own judgment and surrenders to the verdict and authority of the church. Obedience is the humility of the will that subjects itself to another's will for God's sake. Chastity is the humility of the flesh, which subjects itself to the spirit. Exterior mortification is the humility of the senses. Penance is the humility of all the passions immolated to the Lord. He concludes, humility is truth on the road of the ascetical struggle. Everything we are and do is a gift of the Lord to us to help us to grow in humility. And then the more powerful paragraph, which he says with all his experience as a spiritual director. Allow me to remind you that among other evident signs of a lack of humility are thinking that what you do or say is better than what others do and say. How easy it is to succumb to that temptation. Always wanting to get your own way. Arguing when you are not right or when you are. Insisting stubbornly or with bad manners. Giving your opinion without being asked when charity does not demand you to do so. Not being aware that all your gifts and qualities you have are on loan. Not acknowledging that you're unworthy of all honor or esteem, even on the ground you're treading on or the things you own. Mentioning yourself as an example of conversation. Speaking badly about yourself so that others may form a good opinion of you or contradict you. Making excuses when you're rebuked. Hiding some humiliating faults from your spiritual director so that he might not lose the good opinion he has of you. Hearing praise with satisfaction or being glad that others have spoken well of you. Being hurt when others are held in greater esteem. Refusing to carry out the most menial tasks, seeking or wanting to be singled out, letting words drop of self-praise in conversation, or words that might show your honesty or your wit or your skill or your professional prestige, being ashamed that you don't have certain possessions. These are all lacks of humility, but we could see what the flip side is when we're seeking humility. we're going to think that what others say or think is probably better than what we do. We're going to want them to get their way, provided that it's not sinful. We're not going to argue, but we're going to accept, even when we're right. We're going to hold our opinion until it's asked, so that somebody else's opinion might have a hearing. We'll actively thank God for all the gifts and qualities that He's given us and offer them back to Him in service. We're going to mention others and their virtues in conversation rather than our own. We're going to praise others for all the things that they do. We could go on. These are all active practices. And how can we preach a homily on humility without taking us to the most difficult prayer of all time, at least for me to say? I think it's obvious which prayer that I'm talking about. The Litany of Humility by Cardinal Merry del Val. Just think about what it was like for him. Appointed Secretary of State at the age of 38. Everybody was fitting his head with a tiara. So extraordinarily gifted. There's such syncopacy in Italian culture that everybody is going to be kissing rings and kissing butts. So easy to be exalted. And so what did he do? He composed this prayer. To Jesus, meek and humble of heart, whom we invoked in the Alleluia verse today, and asked him to grant us the grace of being freed from the desire of being esteemed, loved, how hard that is for me, extolled, honored, praised, preferred to others, consulted, approved. And to deliver us from the fear of being humiliated or despised or rebuked or calumniated or forgotten or ridiculed or wronged or suspected. And to grant the grace to desire that others be more esteemed, chosen, praised, preferred, and holier than we are. This is the active work of growing in humility. Because our actions flow from our desires. And Cardinal del Val sought, Cardinal Merry del Val sought this active practice. Have in yourselves the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who became ultimately the servant. It was because of that that God exalted him. And the greatest humility of all that we see in the Lord was not his incarnation that St. Paul talks about. It was his making himself our food under the humblest appearances of simple bread and wine, so that we could eat him and become one with him in his incredible humility. This is the Sacramentum Humilitatis. Let us ask Our Lady and St. Martin of Porres, and St. Bernard, who said that humility, humility, humility were the three most important virtues in the Christian life, and St. Jose Maria, to pray for us, that we might be humble like they have been humble, and with them be exalted at Christ's right side forever.